Gabriella.
Governor Stowe, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We will begin momentarily.
Malka.
Kodesh Tov, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa. Gedula Chiminta. Katir Serura. Alphabet Gimel, Yutta, Nati. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagbeinu Tacharenu Nora Ufreshayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudha Kilvavat Shamre Nun Gimel Dalet, Yud Tav Shin. Barchem Tacharem, Rachame Sitata, Tamid Gamed. Tet Reish, Tzadi Tav Gimel. Chasin Kadosh, Bero Tuvcha, Nae. Tet Kufet, Tet Dunayan. Yahid Gea Lampapene Zokre Kiddushateha. Yud Gimelamet, Zion Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel Ushmatiaka Tenu. Yodea ta'alubo Shin Kufav Tzadiyutta. The letters of the month of Tammuz, the letter Taf, created the planet Lavana, the planet we call the moon, the planet that represents metaphorically children of Israel. And the Chet, the letter that created the constellation Tammuz, the completion of the Vav and the Zion, the completion of the month of Biyar and the month of Sivan. The Tammuz, the animal that represents Tammuz is the crab. The Sartan. The essence of the Sartan is there's two distinct essences that are important to understand. The Sartan is not capable of walking straight ahead. It can only move to the side. It's an indication that there's a propensity to exaggerate, to minimize, not to explore the truth. And the other aspect is the Sartan creates this shell, which for a human represents the stone of the heart, or the heart of the stone. It's a hard shell. That limits its growth. of course, it leaves the shell when it gets too small, and it creates another shell. It's constantly falling, withdrawing into its shell, instead of staying outside where it can be observed and be observing. Permutation for the seventh verse for the month of Tammuz. The planet we call Lavana. Hey-wa, hey-yo, hey-wa, hey-yo. Hey-wa, hey-yo. And the eighth verse of the Anabatak we say in a whisper. Today's class is about continuing our study in the Joshua. Last week we studied chapter 10 until we reached verse 27. There are 43 verses in chapter 10. We essentially completed that section of chapter 10 dealing with the stopping of the sun and the moon. It's not something we understand how it was done. Just know that we're not talking about the physicality, we're talking about the spiritual stopping of the sun. The spiritual stopping of the moon, or lengthening the process of the moon. But what we can learn is that when the light is stopped, Chas V'Shalom, when the sun is stopped, the moon takes up the empty space. There is no such thing as empty space. In Hebrew, it's halal. Het lamed lamed. Many people translate halal as vacuum. Space is an empty vacuum. Don't believe this. You need to know the truth that there is never empty space. There is either light or there is darkness. There is either light or there is vessel. When one leaves, the other becomes revealed. You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. It's in row 6 in the third column from the left. It's titled The Listing of Parashas. When you open up the landing page, it has all of the parashas listed. And right towards the bottom is the parasha of Yehoshua, the parasha of Joshua. And Joshua is listed chapter by chapter. So please scroll down to chapter 10. And when that opens up, the first thing you see is a link to Machon Mamre website, which has the book of Joshua in both Hebrew and in English. And that's where we will begin our class today. scroll down to chapter 10, and within chapter 10, scroll down to verse 27, which is where we will begin. We have said this verse last week, so we will not spend time with it, other than to read it in the Hebrew and the English. But first we will say, L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kutshabarichu ishkinte bibhimu urhimu utkimu utkimu urhimu liachta l'shem yudhe bavavhe v'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah la'asok Torah mitzvah v'yehino amadunai Elohindu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kunenei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kunenei. Verse 27. Vayasimu avanim gedolot al pi amara adetem hayom hazeh. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had hidden themselves, and laid great stones on the mouth of the cave unto this very day. What is being talked about is the bodies of the kings that were hanged. Verse 28. Ve'et makeda lakad Yehoshua v'yom ahu v'yakeha Lefi cherel ve'et malka echerim otam ve'et kol hanefesh asher ba lo tishir sarid v'yas lemelech makeda kasher asa lemelech Yericho. And Joshua took Makeda on that day, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof, he utterly destroyed them, and all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining. And he did to the king of Makeda as he had done unto the king of Jericho. I have to ask a question. Why didn't he tell us what he did? Why did he need to couch it or conceal it in the context of what he did to the king of Jericho? What was so special about the word Makeda that it needed to be concealed in this manner? Verse 29.
Vayavor Yehoshua v'kol Yisrael imo mi makeda livna v'yilachem im livna.
And Joshua passed from Makeda and all Israel with him until Libna, and fought against Libna. Verse 30.
Vayiten Adonai Yohei Wahei Adanu Yo Yohei Dawanu Hei Yo Gamota Biad Yisrael Biet Malka Wayakeha Lefi Cherev Ve'et kol ha'nefesh asher ba Malka Kasher Asa Lemelech Yericho. And the Lord and Hashem delivered it also, and the king thereof into the hand of Israel, and he smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein, he left none remaining in it. And he did unto the king thereof as if he had done unto the king of Jericho. It's interesting to note, there's many places in the Torah, in the Tanakh, that it's the phrase is the edge of the sword. If he just said that he smote it with the sword, less words, less letters. Why is it at the edge of the sword? Why doesn't he say directly the sword? And one answer that is my opinion the death of the, by the sword is one of the four deaths prescribed in the Torah for the various sins that human beings perform. So when he says the edge of the sword, he's making sure that we know that this is not, the cause of this king's death was not any of those sins. Because if he said the king died or the people died from the sword, then we could impute that this was their negative action. And what did the people do wrong that the land of Canaan was being overrun by the children of Israel? What did they do wrong that Hashem is making them leave the land or being killed as part of the process of cleansing? And our sages say it was because of their negative actions, because of their idol worship. But idol worship doesn't cause you to be killed by the sword. And that's why it says the edge of the sword, so we will know the difference. Verse 31. Vayavor Yehoshua with all Yisrael imo Melivna Lakisha Vayichan Alecha Vayelachem Ba. And Joshua passed from Libna and all Israel with him until Lachish and encamped against it and fought against it. Verse 32. It's interesting for you to look at the Hebrew word, the last Hebrew word in the first line, Melivna, which is a city or a country, a kingdom within Canaan. But it has a shoresh. The two-letter shoresh is Lev. Lamed Bet, which means the heart. The three-letter shoresh is Lamed Bet Nun, Lavan, which means white. Lavana, the moon, is coming from the shoresh of white. White represents purity. What was the sin, so to speak, of Libna? The sin was the lack of purity of the hearts of the people living there. Verse 32. Vayiten Adonayo Hewahe Adanuyo. Yo ahe da wa nu hey yo. Et Lachish b'yad Yisrael v'yilkada v'yom ha'sheini v'yachecha l'fi cherev v'yet kol ha'nefesh asher b'abek kol asher asa l'livna. And the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel, and he took it on the second day, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein, according to all that he had done, to Libna. Verse 33. Azala Koram Melech Yehezer Lazor Et Lachish Vayakehu Yehoshua v'yetamo adilti ishilo sarid. Then Horam, king of Gezer, came up to help Lachish, and Joshua smote him and his people until he had left him none remaining. It's really so beautiful. How do you say beautiful when we're talking about people leaving, being exiled? We're talking about people dying and being killed. But I don't know how else to say it. It's just so awe-inspiring. And it's the word Ezer, if it's spelled, I don't know if it's spelled with an aleph or whether it's spelled with an ayin. But Ezer, either way, it sounds like the word for theft. And as Horam, the name of the king, Ram means elevated. The elevated. This is a human being. He is feeling himself elevated above others. His country, his kingdom is elevated above other kingdoms. That's what the essence of his internal thought processes and ego is all about. But he is living on borrowed time because we are taught by the sages in the Talmud that whatever one receives through theft, he loses. And that's what the verse is telling us. Verse 34. Vayavor Yehoshua v'kol Yisrael imo Milakish eglona layahanu Aleha v'yilachamu aleha. And Joshua passed from Lachish and all Israel with him unto Eglon, and they encamped against it and fought against it. Verse 35. Et kol ha'nefesh asher ba v'yom ha'hu echerim kekol asher asa le'lachish. And they took it on that day and smote it with the edge of the sword. And all the souls that were therein he utterly destroyed that day, according to all that he had done to Lachish. Verse 36. Vayal Yehoshua with all Israel imo Meglona Hebrona Vayilachamu Alecha. And Joshua went up from Eglon and all Israel with him until Hebron, and they fought against it. Verse 37. Vayilkedu ha vayaku ha lifi cherev et malka et kol hareha et kol hanefesh asher ba lo tishir sarid kol asher Asale eglon vayacharen otaviet kol hanefesh asher ba. And they took it and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and all the souls that were in therein. He left none remaining, according to all that he had done to Eglon. But he utterly destroyed it and all the souls that were therein. There are 28 words in this verse. It's a long verse. It's followed by the light. The 28 connects to the word koach in Hebrew, which means strong, strength, power. There are 97 letters. And 97, it's Sadi Zion, the righteousness of Zion. There's a lot that could be said about these two letters and this word and this number. I'm not going to say it only because of, well, it may seem like we have a lot of time, and we probably do. I think it's best for you to contemplate the meaning of the righteousness of Zion. A hint I will give you is righteousness is Malchut, and Zion is there on him. Verse 38. Why Yashav Yehoshua call Yisrael Imo? Devi Ravailahem Alecha. And Joshua turned back, and all Israel with him, to Debir, and fought against it. There's a reason that the Tanakh and the book of Joshua is telling us that he turned back. It's describing our life journeys. It's describing what we know to be true. You take a step forward and sometimes you take two back. Sometimes you fall back. Sometimes you turn back. You get closer to Hashem. And then you move away from Hashem. And then you get closer than you were before. And then you move away from Hashem. This is the cycle. This is the process that Torah is telling us here. And Joshua turned back. Verse 39. Uh, Vayukida ve'et malka ve'et kol ha'reha. Vayakum lefi herel vayaharinu. Et kol nefesh asher ba lo tishir sarit. Kasher asa v'chevron ten asa. Libira umalka, leka asher asa levina umalka. And he took it, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and they smote them with the edge of the sword, and utterly destroyed all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining, as he had done to Hebron. So he did to Debir, and to the king thereof, as he had done also to Libna, and to the king thereof. Look at the first line of the Hebrew words. The third word is Malka, and you see it repeated in the verse, the earlier verses. But it's not Melech. Malka is the feminine form. But it also, the hey at the end of the Hebrew word means going in the direction. So which is it? Malka is 95. Going in the direction of the king. The Melech is 90. Consciousness will add the Kolel to make it 91, the unity of physical and spiritual. Malka is telling us that it's going in the direction of uniting the spiritual with the physical. Verse 40. I should add, this is my opinion because I haven't heard it from any teachers, nor have I read it anywhere. Yet it is obvious. But just because something is obvious doesn't mean it's true. In the month of Tammuz, we need to step back and truly see. In the spiritual sense of seeing. Verse 40.
Vayake Yehoshua et kol haaretz ha-har v'ha-negev v'ha-shvela v'ha-ashedot v'et kol malkehem. Lo tishir sarid ve'et kol hanshama heherim kasher tziva yadonai yo hey wahe adanu yo yo wahe gawanu hey yo Elohe Israel.
So Joshua smote all the land, the hill country, and the south, and the lowland, and the slopes, and all their kings. He left none remaining, but he utterly destroyed all that breathed, as Hashem, the God of Israel, commanded. If you look at the last line, the second word, Tziva, Sadi Vav He, it's the word Tzav with a feminine ending of the He. Tziva. The question, there's another way of understanding it. We know from the Zohar that Tzav is a connection to idol worship. And Joshua, by doing what God commanded, was accepting going in the direction of idol worship. Why? God commanded it. Why wasn't he supposed to do it? Yes, he was supposed to do it, but only after he evaluated it himself and decided that that was the course he wished to take. And I'm not besmirching Joshua, who is a very righteous man, a very righteous prophet, a very righteous leader. I'm giving you a lesson that all of us need to live and learn. Don't do anything because someone tells you to. Pause and determine for yourself. Yes, that's something I choose to do. Or not. Verse 41. Uyakim Yehoshua Mikadesh Barnea Uyadaza Uyet Poleretz Goshen Uyad Gibbon. Then Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea even unto Gaza, and all the country of Goshen even unto Gibeon. I just want to mention to you that Goshen, that's in Egypt. Well, Egypt doesn't really consider it part of Egypt, but it is Egypt, where the Jews developed, where they became a nation by living in Goshen under Joseph, and then leading up to Moshe and the redemption. How can we be going from Kadesh Barnea, which is another place that we've traveled through in the desert, and now we're going all the way back? I don't remember what happened in Kadesh Barnea. I don't know what the meaning of Gaza was. We still use the term in describing Gaza today, that area of the Sinai Desert as it leads up to the Mediterranean Sea. But that's all part of the land of Canaan, which is the land of Israel that is promised to the children of Israel. But that's not who lives there now, according to Halakha. But maybe they're part of the lost tribes. There are people who can think that's true. There's people who feel that the DNA testing has proven it. Time will tell. Verse 42. V'et kol ha'mlachim ha'ele v'et artsam lachad Yehoshua pa'am echad ki Adonai Yohei Wahei Adanu yo Yohei Dawanu hei yo Elohei Yisrael Nilcham le Yisrael. And all these kings in their land did Joshua take at one time, because Hashem, the God of Israel, fought for Israel. Verse 43. Vayashav Yehoshua v'kol Yisrael imo el hamachaneh Gilgala. And Joshua returned, and all of Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. That's the end of chapter 10. That's the end of our class. Are there any questions? Later today, we will have a class at 4:30, which is West Coast time, which we will continue our study of the Parsha Vayera from the Zohar in our Deep Zohar class. And tonight at our 7 o'clock class, we will have the writings of the Ari. I have been waiting for a number of weeks, because every once in a while, and today I especially did it on purpose, when I say Hashem's name, I don't do it in the normal way. I say Adonai, which is the normal way, and then I say Adanu Yo. Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud in their root vowels. And then I say, Yo, Ah, Hey, Da, Wan, Nu, Hey, Yo. The unity name of Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud and Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey, with their root vowels. What I'm doing is bringing in the Sephardic tradition. If you look at a Sephardic Siddur, whenever you see the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, in the lower, the last hey, there is this, in smaller letters, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Adonai. And then it's immediately followed by the eight letters. But we're reading from Ashkenazi background people. We're reading from the Mechon Mamre. We're reading from most Ashkenazi Sidurim. Does not mean we cannot bring the consciousness that the Sephardi generate by printing it. We can do it by saying it. Are there any questions? Everyone have a wonderful Kodesh Tov. A wonderful month. Shalom Gadol to all. Kodesh Tov to all. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you. Shalom. Shalom. Kodesh Tov.
Thank you.
Thank you.